Hello, all my lovelies, and you're going to have to bear with me this week because I'm getting over a cold on top of everything else that the universe has thrown at me in the last few weeks. I got sick, but I'm luckier than most people. I know a lot of people going through a lot of things these days, so I can absolutely deal with a cold. I just sound a little bit like a frog, and I hope that you all can deal with that. My guest this week has several astonishing stories to tell, Boots Knighton. And yes, we absolutely get into why she is named Boots, but also she tells a story of her open heart surgery. And at such a young age, it was kind of astonishing. And when you hear the story, I think your jaws are going to drop because she really is an elite athlete. She's a skier. She's a mountain biker. I think she runs. She does backcountry skiing. She's kind of this excellent, over-the-top athlete that most of us can only dream of. Yet her heart was trying to tell her for so very long that something was wrong. Now, the story of her heart is part of a larger tale. Boots also talks about getting a severe head injury at one point, then also shares a story that I really want you to take care of your own hearts when you hear it, and it's about the murder of her dear friend in Nicaragua. Boots is larger than life. Did I mention that already? She's been an educator since the late 1990s in every kind of facet of education, including high school science, middle school mathematics, elementary reading, and college level ecology. She's been a ski instructor at Jackson Hole Mountain Resort, and prior to that, was one of the first female lift operators at Jackson in 1998. And I have to tell you that Boots and I got along like a house on fire. Yes, another human being I've met recently that I've absolutely fallen in love with. She has quite a few stories to tell in this episode, and all of them kind of beautifully dovetail into a really powerful takeaway at the end of the episode. So now, here's my episode with Boots Knighton.
You know, my friend's death that I just shared about, that could have gone in two different directions for me. And it's interesting. That was in 2014. And 4 years prior, I had decided to stop drinking, both my husband and I. And so we had already been sober for 4 years. And I thought I was like on the path to like enlightenment because I had quit drinking. And then Karen is murdered in Nicaragua. And I find that I have no ability to move on with my life.
You know, I know nothing about open heart surgery, but I always sense or feel like the center of the self is in the heart, like who we are, how we interact with the world, how we receive the world, how we understand our place, our sense of self is in the heart. And yeah. So when you have, I mean, it's interesting, those words, right? Open heart surgery. It's like it opens your heart up to new experience or maybe new possibility or new ways of being. And while I'm sure open heart surgery is nothing to sneeze at. It's probably terrifying and alarming. And I would be so scared if I had to go through it. But it's interesting on the other side that people change or shift their way of being in the world. It's very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the only way that I was prepared for that was, I remember my surgeon and his physician assistant both like sat down with me the day before. I'd already checked into the hospital and they were like, this is going to be intense and you may have something called cardiac depression afterwards. But that's all that they said. And what I was not prepared for was the complete and total realignment of my soul. And I was not prepared for the inexplicable peace that I had never had before. You know, the surgeon actually had to handle my heart and he had to cut into my heart muscle, and that, and the heart was shifted around a little bit because he had to like get to the back of the heart, and my heart was stopped for an hour and a half. And so all of that just, it really is interesting how it shifts the soul. And a very intuitive, dear friend of mine came to take care of me just to kind of give my husband a break that first week once we were home. And she still talks about how I, like, my soul had, she said, I just was like the soulless human being walking around the house. It was obvious I had just been through such an epic experience and that my soul had not fully integrated back into my body. I was just super disassociated. But I mean, I've since reintegrated and I've processed the trauma and done all the work. But that's one of the reasons why I started my podcast, was because I felt so underprepared for the spiritual, soulful aspects of surgery and mental. I mean, even though they said you might get a little sad, that was just the tip of the iceberg. You know, my friend's death that I just shared about, that could have gone in two different directions for me. And it's interesting. That was in 2014. And 4 years prior, I had decided to stop drinking, both my husband and I. And so we had already been sober for 4 years. And I thought I was like on the path to like enlightenment because I had quit drinking. And then Karen is murdered in Nicaragua. And I find that I have no ability to move on with my life. So I walk into my therapist's office at the beginning of May of 2014, thinking that's the worst of my problems. And that is what started 10 years of reparenting myself and showing up in the world in a completely different way. Now, you would think, how on earth would I say my best friend's murder would be considered a magical point in my life? Okay. I'd give anything for that to not have happened to her. I would give anything to still have her here. However, I didn't have that choice. And so I did have a choice on what I was going to do with it and how I was going to live my life after that moment. What transpired surpasses any understanding. And you hear about watershed moments. You know, there's the watershed of like, you know, a riparian zone where there's like marshes or a river or whatever. But there's a watershed moment when your life changes so dramatically. And that was my watershed moment. And how it is now working out for me in this present moment is, I mentioned showing up in the world. Well, I did so much healing in the last 10 years. I'm facing some really hard truths about myself head on. Because I figured if Karen's dead and she had to die the way she did, the one thing I owe her is trying to do my best at living.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode and my conversation with Boots. I need to thank her for being so open and sharing all of her stories. Honestly, I never know what to expect when a guest comes on the show. And Boots, really, her stories reminded me yet again that this world is so very mysterious and so very magical. So thank you to Boots for coming on the show and trusting me with her stories. Please do remember, dear listeners, to rate and review the podcast. Those ratings and reviews, they help other people find us. As well, click that button and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Boots. Never give up. No matter what life throws at you, what challenges life throws at you, what challenges you have to overcome, always remember that life and the universe have your back, that what is happening to you or around you is for your highest good, and that someday, it will make way more sense than it does now. And I think that means that be like Boots. Have ultimate faith in the universe. Have faith that it's all going to work out, that the universe has your back, and that in the end, there is a rhyme and a reason for every single thing in your life.